This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80 as well. And we are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. In a few minutes, Kimberly Martin's going to join us. We're going to put her on the hot seat and see who is on the hot seat in the NFL. We also want to be part of Barton Hahn Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. It is 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, ESPN Nation, presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one the fans deserve. Bart Scott is basically, I mean, hopefully, sprinting his way here from the First Take studio. And from what I saw on First Take, he's either about to take my order or he's waiting to get into a limo to go to the prom. If you saw him on First Take by any chance, you saw a man who is dressed for success. And here he is as he is setting up right now. Bow tie. The jacket, my man, is...
Sir Brother Noomsi.
I mean, I like you. That's right. A Brother Bart stepping into the studio. Now, it's a good look. The bow tie, I've never seen you in a bow tie. And it's actually, for those, I don't believe that's a clip-on, right? That's a real tie.
That's a bow tie.
That's a tied bow tie.
Sir Brother Noomsi. Well, you know what? You know, he tried to disrespect my bacon collar. I didn't represent the show last week.
Yes.
So I said, you know what? I'm going to put on a tuxedo. He want to be funny? I'm going to go all the way for him in honor of the Met Gala. So I went all the way Tropic Thunder, and I put on a tuxedo. You can always choose a tuxedo when you're looking inside.
And that, I thought it was more of the highlighter. What are those you got on?
These off-whites. Those are Air Force Ones.
They are. Air Force Ones. I just saw the bottom. But the pants, yes, you even have, right, the stripe down the side of the pants and
this
everything.
This is a full-on
tux. Legit
tux.
I like it. It's a good look.
I had to represent for the show, man.
Yeah, yeah. So you represented on First Take, as you do each week, and you will be on Get Up tomorrow, as you are each week. Yeah. So we keep you busy. Now I think what we will talk about are topics that we have talked about as we get ready now for week two of the NFL already.
Already.
But in the midst of that, Bart, and I know it was one of the topics you guys did discuss, and I know it's been discussed already at length today, but that is Aaron Rodgers, man. And just what, again, like what are we supposed to, how are we supposed to react to this stuff? Like, again, you're the athlete.
Yeah.
You've dealt with guys that, like locker rooms have everything. They have like salt of the earth, regular guys like you.
Yeah.
Then there's some guys that, again,
Devo.
They just carry themselves a different way. Aaron Rodgers has become a guy that you unquestionably talented.
Yeah.
And Keyshawn has said this many times, and I agree with it. I do think quarterbacks are way more diva than wide receivers are. But he's another level. Like he is, to me, he is the unaffected, apathetic, ponytail guy, like cover singer at a coffee house kind of thing going on with him now.
I don't know what the Steve is a god beard and
all
and
of it.
Time to kill or whatever he's doing right now. But to answer to kind of go over what he's going through, you ever been in a relationship, you break up with somebody, you get back together, and as soon as you get back together, you realize why you wanted to leave in the first place, but now you stuck.
Yeah, I actually
right?
do.
Right? So this is what this reminds me of. Like, he's coming back to somebody, and the first day, it was cool, right? Because they're on their best behavior. You hear Gutekunst, you hear LaFleur.
They gave him anything he wanted.
Whatever you want. You want
Randall Cobb?
You want Randall
Cobb? You got him.
Right? But at the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers remembered that he didn't respect Mike LaFleur, right? He's the same guy that decided not to go for it on fourth down with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. And then he's saying, listen, this dude is dumber than me. Like, I should be Tree Rollins. I should be player coach right now. Because this dude don't have a clue about what the hell's going on, right? And how do I know
Tree
he means
Rollins.
That? I threw it back, way back, right?
Tree Rollins,
it's like,
okay.
It's like, how do I know that he doesn't respect LaFleur's football acumen? Because if you listen to some of the statements he said, listen, we thought they were going to come out man-to-man. Right, so we had all these man-to-man beaters.
Yeah, we played that yesterday, how he criticized the lack of adjustment
right.
and the way they played
so
the offense.
So what does that mean? So he's saying, hey, they went to cover two, and this is Aaron Rodgers, right? This is perfect to his personality. Like, just like when they told him, hey, we're going to kick the field goal. Did he fight? Did he argue? He's like, okay, y'all want to do it, you dummies? Go ahead and do it.
Right.
Go ahead and see what happens. Like, he's not one of those guys that's going to say, no, nah, man. Like, you see Lamar Jackson, you see Tom Brady waving people off. If Aaron Rodgers waved everybody off, said, we going for it, they're going to go for it. Mm-hmm. But he's like, oh, you want to drive the car off the cliff? Go ahead and drive the car off the cliff. And then he's the guy that sits back. Told you I was right.
Right.
Right? So instead of saying, hey, man, you know, going to the floor, hey, man, we need to run the ball a little bit. I want to start running the ball. Let me handle this. I got mm-hmm. it, right? He said, nope. You want to keep throwing these plays?
Okay, you don't want to ask me? You don't want to ask me for my help? Okay, I'm not going to offer it
my
to you.
My point. And yeah. that is something that somebody that's not a team player, that's a narcissist type of trait.
All right.
Right?
Well, with that in mind, on Pat McAfee's show, and it's at least it's good. I will say this much, though, is that just like, you know, we do hear regularly from Tom Brady now, which is nice.
Yeah.
You do hear from Aaron Rodgers pretty regularly. Like, he will talk, which that's not always the case with stars.
He will say something.
But he will talk, and he does say stuff, and that's good to know. You want to know what he's thinking, but he goes to, obviously, a place where he trusts, and that is, of course, his buddy McAfee. So here he is talking about week one and their 38-3 embarrassment to open the season. And all of us looking at it thinking one thing, of course, Jameis Winston's performance, but then after it, you also think to yourself, what the hell happened there with the Packers, and why is Aaron Rodgers looking like he looks in week one? And we're wondering, maybe this farewell tour has already said farewell. Aaron Rodgers, though, of course, gives us the R-E-L-A-X.
It might be a freak out outside of the facility. I think it's just a, you know, it's a good learning lesson for us. You know, we can't play like that. We can't start a game like that. I feel like, I said after the game, our energy level was a little bit low before the game. You know, we got to do a better job responding to adversity. So, look, there's not much to say. We got our asses beat, you know, by 35 points. We're all frustrated about it, but you just move on. We got 16 more to go. You know, we can't dwell on this one and let it impact this next week. We got NFC North opponent. We got a Monday Night Football game.
Ah.
You know, like, I mean, what do you take from that? Give me the BS translator.
BS translator.
Yeah.
Later, right?
Let's do it.
We had to learn our lesson. Right? Aaron Rodgers already knew what the lesson, but he wanted – it's almost like when your parents tell you, listen, don't touch that. That's hot.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, mom. You touch and you burn yourself. See, I told you. So he's trying to teach lessons because he knows he's got room for error within that division. He knows that Minnesota's not going anywhere. He knows that Chicago's not going anywhere. He knows that Detroit's not going anywhere. So he, listen, you know how maniacal you have to be?
So the power struggle continues. Is
yes,
what,
yes.
Your BS translator is, he's basically saying, there's still a power struggle here,
yeah.
And I'm going to win it.
They had to learn. We had to learn.
Mm.
Translation, they had to learn. Because I knew that you run the ball in cover two. I know that you throw the ball to the tight ends up the seam in cover two. I know you high-low the cornerback in cover two. I know that that's a seven-man box, and we can run the ball against light boxes, and we got the type of runs where I run away from the down safety or I run away from their best defensive end. I know that. He knows that. Why doesn't LaFleur know that? So he's saying, listen, you guys think this dude's boy genius? You think he's Sean McVay? Let me show you guys, this dude don't even know how to beat cover two.
Mm. All right, tell you what, coming up, though, a little bit later on in the show, in fact, in audio files, we will also tell you how Aaron Rodgers reveals a very painful reason why he threw one of his interceptions, a very uncharacteristic interception, but he does have a very painful reason why. Meanwhile, though, there is some criticism of Aaron Rodgers. While there's so many people that just say, it's Aaron Rodgers, he'll figure it out, it'll be fine, not to overreact to week one, JerMichael Finley has been pretty critical of him. His former teammate, obviously.
Did he not throw him the ball enough?
Something. There's definitely some issue there. But he was on KJM this morning, and he called out Aaron Rodgers for not being ready for week one.
That's the National Football League. Each offseason, you got to work like it's the last season. And I just don't see a work ethic in Aaron Rodgers that I have in previous years. And actually, you can see it right through his helmet. The eyes and the face tells everything of the personality. And I just don't see it, that NFL hunger and just feel hungry to go win another championship. I just think it's cliche and talk that guys get up there and say, oh, I want to win a championship. Oh, it sounds good, but I want to see what you do on the field.
Your thoughts on that?
See, I don't know about that, right? This sounds like somebody that's bitter grapes, you know what I mean? It's something, maybe Aaron Rodgers got him fired because he wanted to bring another tight end in or something like that. I know he hurt his neck. But, like, listen, I don't see any of that. And JerMichael Finley, unless he's been there or went to practice, how does he know how Aaron Rodgers, Aaron, prepares? How does he know how he prepared last year? He's a guy that has control of this offense, but this ain't really his offense. He's not calling the plays. Everybody else can change the plays, call the plays they want to call. Right, Tom Brady can do that. Why not Aaron? If Aaron says, hey, you know, they're playing cover two, switch it up. I got this. I'll call the plays at the line of scrimmage. Hell, Ben Roethlisberger's been calling the game in his own 2 minute for like 5-10 years. Mm-hmm. He's been calling his own 2 minute. When he goes 2 minute, no huddle, that's all Ben. Right? So like Aaron Rodgers said, listen, y'all guys think y'all got it all figured out. Y'all the smart people in the room. No, let me show y'all that I'm the smartest guy in the room, and I'm the only one that's here at playing a game at a level that's never been seen before. I'm the 2-time MVP. What are you talking about? I'm the reigning MVP. Like, you guys still trying to tell me what to do. How about you guys just sit back and benefit from my greatness?
And that has always felt like that's been the issue. Going all the way back to the NFC Championship game and him just walking off the field with that apathetic, again, I go back to that, unaffected apathetic, like, man, that's what you guys want.
Yeah, give Tom Brady the ball back.
Just walking off the field.
Yeah, give Tom Brady the ball
back. All
right,
I guess we're going to kick this. Yeah. All right. Like, instead of, like, fighting, like, we've seen it. We've seen Brady turn and look to the sideline
Lamar
and
Jackson.
Scream. We've seen, right. We know that you can do that. He chooses not to.
He doesn't use his veto power because he's like, okay, y'all smart. All right. And then he don't care. Like, he don't understand. Listen,
And the fact that Brady, who was it that was breaking his chops on the conference call for the
Brady,
golf?
Brady.
Was it Brady? Like, one of the, they were, like, the fact that they were able to put that out to make a joke of it shows you that Rodgers is like letting it, just let it exist. Let it be out there. And that's what's going on here. It continues to be a power struggle. There's no doubt about that. All right, Bart, let's go to the Goodyear hotline and bring in, of course, one of our very good friends, someone you did just spend some time with on First Take today, Kimberly A. Martin.
K-Mar, she pulling a triple shift, too. That's what I'm talking about.
Everybody's working today. K-Mar, how you doing?
Yeah, man. Putting in hours together. Yes, hello, boys.
How we doing? So Bart is, just resplendent in this tuxedo he decided to wear today.
I saw the bow tie.
We took a prom picture today.
We did on Instagram.
That's what I said.
Yes.
Before you came into the studio, I said, I don't know if he's going to ask me for my order or if he's waiting for a limo to go to the prom. Which one is it? We're going to play some Pretty in Pink music, but I don't know if everybody's old enough to understand that reference. But we were just talking about the Aaron Rodgers stuff right here. And does it ring to you? Bart gave us a little BS translator, and he made it sound like it's a bit of a – continues to be a power struggle. That's what it sounds like, that he just is unaffected by, well, that's what we did, and no one's going to overreact. And, like, he's completely unaffected by how bad they looked and he looked in week one. Do you see it as maybe the continuation of a power struggle going on there in Green Bay?
So I'm trying not to overreact because it's just week one, right? That's why I think Monday night against the Lions, a Lions team that actually was one of my biggest surprises of week one, you know, Jared Goff, the Lions putting up 33 or whatever on the 49ers. That's going to be a tough game. And I think because of the offseason that Aaron Rodgers had, you know, he's got to be beyond reproach now. There can't be any holes in his game. He can't come out and throw uncharacteristic interceptions. You know, this offense can't look listless. And that's sort of what we saw. And, you know, with all the drama that happened this offseason, you know, a couple people did say, you know, if this saga continues into the season and he doesn't want to show up, I wonder what his teammates will say. Eventually, they're with him now. But as the months go on, could they turn? Once it becomes just about Aaron Rodgers, is that a possibility? So when you have a JerMichael Finley making comments, a former teammate, and you see the way they performed week one, it's too soon to hit the panic button for sure, but it bears watching in Green Bay based off of what we've seen.
Now, what do you think about his comment saying that, hey, they were in cover two, we thought they're going to be man-to-man, we didn't make the adjustments. Is that a direct shot at Matt LaFleur, and is this something that you can see that's really going to be something that's going to come to a head at some point during the season, him just not respecting the football acumen of Matt LaFleur?
I feel like, you know, what we saw this offseason with Aaron and his long list of grievances, like he aired out all those grievances like it was Festivus, and I feel like he's in that mode right now. Yeah. He's going to be brutally honest because it's the last, like we all feel this is the end, right?
Yeah, so, he burned the bridge.
You know what I mean? Like, I think he's finally like, yeah, I'm done, sort of. Like, he just kind of looks like unkempt, and he's just sort of like out here, and like he's very chill and sort of in this like zen state of like, hey man, it's gonna be fine, whatever. That may be true, but he's also a guy that does have one foot out the door. As much as I believe that he and Davante Adams are trying to do the last dance thing, they're trying to ride out together, win a title before they both leave, I think it's easier for Aaron to say, well, I'm Aaron Rodgers, like I know we're gonna be straight, but the comments about what we should have done in coverages or what we, you know, similar to what we saw in the NFC title game after the kick and the field goal. You know, he came up to the edge of saying, you know, I was really pissed at my coach, right? I think Aaron is just, he's just in a different mode right now of just, he's going to let you know what he thinks. And that, unfortunately, could mean telling you what he thinks about the GM, the head coach, and everybody.
Yeah, like I said, I think he's just playing the role of the unaffected ponytail guy who sings cover songs at a coffee house right now. I mean, that's really what he is.
You know,
anything going on in the world doesn't bother me as long as I have me and my music and my latte. Kimberly Martin joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Want to play a little game? Want to play a little NFL hot seat for week one?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do it. All right, so on the hot seat right now, let's see. Urban Meyer, who had to already say, no, I'm committed here in Jacksonville, and I wonder, did fans say, are you sure? You know, you can change your mind if you'd like. There is a job at USC open, so is Urban Meyer, after 1 week, already on the hot seat?
He is on the hot seat from the standpoint of this man jumped out the TV booth to come and be a head coach in the NFL because of Trevor Lawrence. Because this was Trevor Lawrence, of all these prospects, was the one that we barely talked about in the offseason because we were like, oh, he's just that good. Like, he's Andrew Luck good. So we know he's going to be the best quarterback out of this draft class. And to see Trevor Lawrence struggle in the preseason, this offense looked bleak. And for week one, for that sort of performance, I don't even know a good adjective for it. He is on the hot seat because you have high expectations despite it being Jacksonville.
Does he go all Bobby Petrino and leave before the season's over with?
Because and would anyone care?
I mean, yeah.
No, it's a fair question. Would anyone really care?
But would anybody be surprised?
No.
No, and that's why this is even brought up, because based on his track record, it's like, I'm stepping away from coaching because of my health. And I was like, oh, boom, so I'm back to coaching. You know what I mean?
So let me just mention quickly just a couple of things that Urban Meyer has dealt with just in this short stint as a NFL coach.
Okay. Go ahead.
Chris Doyle, right? Controversial hire with the strength coach. Yep. Had some racist remarks when he was at Iowa. Then he brought Tim Tebow in, and then here comes the circus, right? They also lost two organized team practices for violating the offseason program.
Yeah. You know, so he got fined.
He got fined $100,000, then fined another $200,000. Then he also said and made the controversial comment about the vaccinated players not being vaccinated. That is Kimberly,
was that wrong?
This is a year worth of mishaps in less than 3 months. He looks miserable. He looks like he swallowed a bowling ball. Like, you know, he has acid reflux, gout, and everything all at the same time. So I'm asking you, does he make it to the end of the season?
Yes, he does. Jacksonville brought him in for that star power. They're not going to let him leave before the year is done.
So 2022, Eric the Enemy is going to be the head coach of the Jacksonville.
We shall see. All right, continuing with Kimberly Martin with NFL Hot Seat just after 1 week. How about Daniel Jones, Joe Judge? If things do not work out for the Giants, who my good friend Dave Rothenberg calls it a elimination game already tomorrow night. Either one of these guys on the hot seat, as fans will start questioning both of them?
You know what? I'm amazed that the worm has turned with Joe Judge, it seems, with the fan base. Like, they just seem, after that whole issue in week one, I'm just, like, kind of surprised. But to me, Joe Judge isn't as much of an issue as Daniel Jones is. Like, you know, Dave Gettleman, I was there the night they drafted him. Full bloom love. This is the guy that Dave Gettleman was like, I saw a couple plays in the Senior Bowl and I was smitten. Well, it hasn't been pretty since.
Yeah.
So unless Daniel Jones, we talked about that Giants defense last year. It's good. The offensive line is an issue. That's on Gettleman. So within the Giants organization, I don't think Joe Judge, I think he's number three on my hot seat list, I would think.
I tell you what, Kimberly, I've seen this movie before, right? When a team struggles coming out of the gate, you're not going to get rid of Joe Judge, right? Joe Judge came in, he hired like, what, 75
if assistants. You get rid of the GM, saying he's got to keep the coach, though?
No, no, but right now, listen, they got rid of Joe Judge, right? Joe Judge got rid of, like, all the assistants. He brought in, like, they got more assistants on staff than any other team, right? Except who? Jason Garrett is going to be the fall guy. Right, because this offense brought in Kenny Galladay. They're not going to get rid of Joe Judge. Gettleman's not going to blame himself. So he's going to point it at the offense and the fact that, hey, I went and got the defense right. Yo, Jason Garrett can't get the offense right, because I guarantee you, Joe Judge don't want Jason Garrett hovering around him because he's a former head coach. He's not a part of his guys list. Okay. Right? He want to get him out of the building. So watch what happens.
Keep an eye on this season. Watch where Jason the criticism Garrett starts
gets
to
fired,
lie.
Right? And he
all
brings
right.
it somebody.
Let's keep this thing moving as we continue on the hot seat. Just 1 week into the season with Kimberly Martin, Mike Zimmer. I mean. You know, I was really surprised that they ended up losing that game. I know other people thought the Bengals would win it, but I thought Minnesota this year would finally get it back to what we think they can be. I mean, offensively, they still can put up stuff, but Mike Zimmer feels like he's definitely a guy that by the end of the season, that seat will be extremely hot.
Yeah, especially because Kirk Cousins feels like a lightning rod to me, too. Like, he's just a guy that, depending week to week, you know, the comments about him just seem to run the gamut. So in Minnesota, as good as their players have been, they just can't seem to get it done. So, yeah, for sure.
Okay, and we'll go with one more. And it's an interesting one. Frank Reich. Why? Because clearly hitched his wagon to Carson Wentz. And if Wentz does not play well and the Colts don't make the playoffs, I mean, there's a lot more expectations of just making the playoffs for the Colts. Could Frank Reich be in trouble because that's his guy? They targeted him. They brought him in. And if he's not the answer, is he on the hot seat?
No way. No way. Because you're going to blame Chris Ballard as well, the GM, because they both are all in on Carson Wentz. You just sort of chalk it up to, okay, we might have been wrong about that. But Frank Reich, not. I think enough has happened with this franchise where I don't think Frank is on the hot seat. I'm surprised he even made the list, guys.
What's that?
I'm surprised
he made the list. I mean, after the first week and after all the issues that Carson's been through in the preseason, it's a very interesting name to watch.
Yeah,
if they don't make the AFC,
they gave up a first
is
round draft
tough.
Pick. Arguably, they gave up a first round draft pick.
It could, it could end up being.
But that's why I say then the GM and the head coach are on board together with this decision. That's why I don't think Frank Reich becomes a fall guy.
Right.
I think they just chalk it up to, Carson, we expected better. We didn't get it at the end.
Well, nobody said that he would be fired. It's just hot seat.
Yeah.
That's how the game's played. Okay. All right, Kimberly, always great to catch up with you. Thanks so much, as always.
Thanks, guys.
All the best. Kimberly Martin, again, our ESPN NFL reporter, on the Goodyear Hotline. Okay, you can download the Overheard podcast for curiously delightful conversations overheard around National Geographic's headquarters, presented by the City Advantage Platinum Select Card, the card built for your next adventure. So the NFC East did not get off to the best start in week one. Only one winner. But who are the contenders and who are the pretenders in that division? Who do you really believe in as we have two teams playing tomorrow night from that division? We will discuss that next. Spartan Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart, not Alan. How Bart's
got it? No satisfaction. This is AA Ryan. I can't get no.
Exactly.
I tell you what, man. What is going on with Quintores, man? Quintores punching at the air like Trey on Boys in the Hood, like just getting just the 15-yard penalty. For those out here who don't know, Quintores, that's actually Julio's real name. Mm. It's Quintores. So you know when your parents used to holler at you.
I thought you were just gonna go with it.
Yeah, but
they figure like whoever gets it gets it, whoever doesn't doesn't.
Yeah, no,
I'm glad you explained
it. I like to explain to people because like,
but that's what Derrick Henry said to us yesterday when I asked him, right? Like Vrabel called him out like by name.
Yeah, but you know what?
Derrick Henry said, no, everybody should get called out.
Yeah, but you know
the
what's
right
crazy?
Things.
It's got to be some crazy stuff going, like, because that's what happens, right? When you admire a player from afar, you have no idea about who they are as a person and practice habits, and the fact that they believe that he doesn't like to practice, right? Mm-hmm. Julio never practiced when he's in Atlanta. He's had his own Julio rules, and he wants his Julio rules,
fair,
even though he's in a different organization. And Vrabel said, "Nah, man, around here, we do things like this, and everybody's treated the same.
We have a standard."
He's like, "I'm Quinn Torres. You know, lost your damn mind."
Well, he looked like he lost his mind, and it cost them. I mean, you know, the game certainly was getting away from him at that point, but it was just a bad look overall. So, again, week two begins tomorrow. Giants and the Washington football team with now – come to think of it, I'll have a Heinicke as quarterback. And I did say, like, we were talking about that. Like, I figured it was sooner rather than later before we'd see him.
You like you some Heinicke.
I'm telling you, I don't think he's terrible, but there is some.
Is that the measuring stick now?
Acts like it's like, who is this dude? Like, I mean, he was good enough for them to immediately lock him up and give him an extension. Not a ton of money, of course, but they just wanted to make sure that they didn't lose him to someone else. They like him that much.
Yeah,
he's there, and he's now starting against the Giants, and this is, you know, in Washington, but for the Giants, I mean, it's an important game.
For Washington.
And Washington, too, but that defense, yeah, I mean, but
it's like whoever loses may have to pack. The only good thing is everybody lost.
You really
are
buying into that? You're buying into this being that huge of a divisional game already?
Well, for me, from the Giants' standpoint,
all right,
let's just talk about the history, the recent history, right?
That's
this is a
good
team that has lost their opening game, I believe, like the last five games.
Eight of the last 9 years?
Right. Yeah. So, like, getting
something
off the bad starts and going 0-2, this is a team that's been 0-2 probably like the last 5 years. When is the last time that they were 1-1?
Are you doing this to me again? Are you asking me questions that are not able – it's not answerable at this time? Are we just going to play?
Well, we can answer you later. I tell you guys what. The Giants have had the worst record in the last 5 years out of anybody in the NFL. That's all you need
confirmed
to know.
They are not.
And the fact that
have not been good.
And the fact that it's going to start being finger-pointing if they go 0-2, because you're going to have to explain it away. Because this is a team that's supposed to have a great offense that spent over $100 million bringing in Galladay, going and getting Tony – Saquon Barkley's back, and they put up 13 points. Remember the narrative around this town and around the NFL was that the Giants can never score more than 20 points? Well, guess what? The goal of a defense, but for everybody that don't know out there, the goal for a defense is to hold the opponent to 17 points or under. Well, the Giants have volunteered to not score more, a little bit more or less than 17 points for like the better part of the last 5 years.
What got them? Turnovers got them. I mean, the turnover, I mean, you know, again, that's the stuff that gets them, and that's the most frustrating part for the Giants. But let me ask you this. So looking at this division, which was an abomination last year, I mean, they were literally gave it away.
Yeah.
Like, what we saw happen.
Like, nobody wanted to play extra.
You literally gave the division to Washington.
Yeah.
The Eagles decided to do that when they made the decision they made in that game, which cost the Giants. Now, again, you know, six wins shouldn't win you a division anyway. But seven, it's happened, but still. The Eagles are the only team to get a win. Now, they didn't play a very good team in the Falcons, and they looked very good. And a lot of people are buying in on Jalen Hurts, literally 500% uptick in his jersey sales after 1 week.
They're going to return.
500%.
They still got the tags in Philly on it, right? They just got it tucked in.
Is that what it is?
If he stinks it up this week, that's going to be down 600%.
So with that in mind, all right, you have the Eagles at 1-0, and everybody else lost. Remember, the Cowboys obviously lost Thursday. They play the Chargers, not a gimme.
Chargers. No, that's not a gimme. They may not be
favored. And then the Giants and Washington play each other, so someone we already know is going to be 0-2 if there's not a tie.
On the hot seat.
Right? And then who knows what happens with the Cowboys.
The Chargers are real. That offensive line, just ask Chase Young about that Slater kid, you know, because he was his daddy. And he's been his daddy ever since he was in the Big Ten, even though he was at Northwest. And then they brought in Corey Lindsey, who's now the highest paid center. Now you have protection, man. Let's not remember that they got Williams over there and they got Keelan Cole. And now Derwin James is back and they got Nick Bosa. You know, Joey Bosa over there. So, listen, the Chargers may get that dub.
All right. So, with that, I mean, the Cowboys, they get Zach Martin back, but they lose Leo Collins now for
six weeks,
right?
Yeah, somebody was spraying the sauce.
Yeah, a little bit too much. Right. So, who are you buying in? Who are you believing in this division? Is this division still going to be as hapless as it was last year, or are you buying in on someone or two?
It's all about who handles adversity, right? Because adversity can kind of pull you together or it can tear you apart. Right, so like, let's see if it's the infighting and the finger pointing, on the Giants side. Let's see what's being said, because now the Washington football team has been picked by a lot of analysts to say, hey, they're going to win this division because of how outstanding their defense is. Well, what happens if that defense loses to the Giants? So everybody, that narrative, man, nobody wants to go 0-for, because we know what the percentages are. If you go 0-for-2, it's something like 33% of the teams even ever make it to the playoffs. And now you're facing a must-win in week 3, and you don't know who your opponent is and what that can mean.
And quarterback play, I mean, look, you know, again, Washington's their defense, right? I mean, the Eagles, you know, Jalen Hurts, that offense, a much improved offensive line. They looked good in week 1. You know, a quarterback that they're trying to believe in. The Giants have Daniel Jones. They need to figure out if they believe in him. And, you know, Dakota had himself a day. Even though they lost on Thursday, he was fantastic in the loss.
They're throwing too damn much.
But still, when he did throw, though, he was fantastic. Yeah. So with that in mind, listen to Mike Tannenbaum. He thinks, because Washington does have a defense, an elite one, right? And what they're now missing is, Ryan Fitzpatrick injured. He's an older quarterback. You had to know that was coming. Yeah, Taylor Heineke, inexperienced.
When they say he hurt himself on a water slide.
So,
let's dig deep into that one.
So Mike Tannenbaum thinks that Washington should look a little deeper into veteran Cam Newton.
Go sign Cam Newton. Get him into your system. Make sure that he's eligible to play. Taylor Heineke is a good player. If you go back last year in the playoffs, he played really well against a really good Buccaneer defense. So give them credit for having Heineke, but I would absolutely go sign Cam Newton. He could help you in a meaningful way over the course of the next 16 games.
Mike T believes that that's what Washington should get done, and today is the day for doing. That is brought to you by the Home Depot. With everything you need to do projects smarter, faster, and easier, welcome to today's Home Depot, how doers get more done. Do you buy into that? Do you think a little reunite with Ron Rivera, or is that not a good fit?
Well, he didn't like him the first time. He didn't like him enough to bring him in and try and sign him away from the Patriots and give him the starting spot because he had an open spot before. So sometimes you think that just because somebody's been your friend before that they trust you and want to bring you in.
They had their best success together.
Yeah, together. But listen, at this time, it's a different time, different place, different circumstances, and he may not want to bring the show, which is Cam Newton, to town. And also, when what's going to happen if that's the case, if Heineke goes down and Cam has to play, but then what happens if Fitzpatrick comes back after 6 weeks? Then now you got like that awkward moment, because Fitzpatrick's going to say, hey.
But by then, who knows what you're going to look like in 6 weeks? Can you afford to wait the 6 weeks for Fitzpatrick to come back? With a division like that, who knows?
Well, with this division, everybody's going to be in it. Week 17, it's like, all right, well, can somebody win 6?
Right. It's always an awful start, but a spectacular ending, because everybody, like you said, is in it. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Should Washington go for Cam Newton? And are we buying the Giants in the NFC East, or the Cowboys the only team you believe in? So, coming up, fans are back in the stands. So why did 12 underdogs, this is an unbelievable stat, 12 underdogs covered the spread in week 1?
12
How
dogs.
About that? 12 what dogs. Is the reason for this? We will dive into that after Bart has this from Vivid Seats.
Speaking of fans back in the stands, football season's back, baseball playoffs are right around the corner, and best of all, it is safe to return to live events. Means that you can actually be there and see the action with Vivid Seats. From seats on the 50-yard line to a bird's eye view to parking passes, being there is all that matters. And get this, with Vivid Seat Rewards, you can earn rewards like free tickets. All you have to do is collect a stamp, redeem, and repeat. It's simply that easy. So grab your tickets today and cheer on your favorite team in the stands. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Brought to you by SelectQuote. Get a free quote today at SelectQuote.com.
Bart and Han.
On Alan Han, Bart Scott. ESPN Radio, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We had Kimberly Martin on with us earlier. Did a little hot seat in the NFL. If you missed that, you can catch it on the podcast. Anywhere you get your podcast, just look up Bart and Hunt. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. We'll get to the calls here in a second. But it is right now time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And as I mentioned in the previous segment, Bart, it really was a entertaining Week 1. I mean, every game had a little something, right? A little something about it that you had to keep your eye on. I mean, it was a red zone day on Sunday.
Well, Week 2 disappointing, or you think it's only going to
get a great back? Question. I mean, you're starting off with Giants in Washington.
I mean, it's a little
– The bar is not high right now, but to live up.
But
No, it's two desperate teams.
Yeah,
so you're
both
right.
Both those teams are they familiar with each other, so divisional games are always heated because of the history.
And again, for both teams, it's you mentioned it. You don't want to be 0-2 in that division. So with that in mind, though, week one gave us something that really stood out to a lot of people, and that is the underdogs. The underdog, 12 underdogs. It was 15 games, 12 underdogs covered the spread. The most in week one in the entire Super Bowl era. It's never happened. Like, think about that. It's never happened before. We had that many. So 9 underdogs pulled the outright upset.
Yeah.
Right? Which is also the most in any week. In any week in the last 4 seasons. It also tied for the most in any opening week in the Super Bowl era. And that's according to ESPN stats and information. Think about this. So you had the Cardinals, the Bengals, the Texans, Chargers, the Dolphins, the Saints, the Eagles, the Steelers, all won as point spread underdogs. See, and then the Browns covered, Cowboys covered, Lions covered.
Yeah, it's crazy late, right? Because that was a beatdown in the second quarter. San Francisco put up 24 points. But it's interesting that you say that because it's like the Steelers really shouldn't have been a crazy underdog because they were a 12-4 team the year before. Well,
yeah, maybe some of the spreads weren't right.
Arizona, yeah.
Yeah, maybe some of the spreads weren't right.
Vegas still rusty.
That 49ers one also, like that, you know,
yeah,
with the Lions.
That was gonna be a beatdown.
Yeah, everybody thought it was, and it looked like it for a minute. But with fans back in the building, I know Peyton was saying this a lot when it came to the Raiders and the Raiders fans. He was like annoyed by the noise, like quiet. Your quarterback's trying to call a play, like be quiet. Would the fact that there are fans after a year without them, could that have any impact on the game? Like just because it's been a year than that since you had a loud packed stadium.
We saw that in the playoffs and Super Bowl. Like it really was like it wasn't full stands. Like even in the Buffalo game, it really wasn't full stands. But it was affecting the opposing team, but also affecting the home team because you really haven't had practice with your silent counts, your nonverbal communication, your signals, your signs. I think everybody got to get used to it again, and also the cameras and all that stuff.
Could it also be that it's week one and there was not much of a preseason for a lot of the favorite teams?
Yeah.
You know, didn't play a lot of your guys, so could
they're
that
rusty.
Have also affected that?
Absolutely.
This is really glorified preseason still?
Yeah, but that's why you want to jump on these teams early. Right, that's why if it's the time to try and catch some of these teams flat-footed, you jump on them early.
8 playoff teams from last year lost in week one. 8.
Yep.
So that certainly says a lot. All right, 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Let's grab a call or two while we can. Let's see. Let's go to let's go to Lee is in Brooklyn. Lee.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
How are you?
Good.
I'll tell you guys, you guys are my favorite show, man. Bart, Alan, you guys got amazing chemistry. Bart, you're hysterical. I had a question on the defensive side for Bart. Diehard Jets fan. What are your opinions on the Jets defense? I think Saleh, I mean, I remember back in the day, Saleh, he coached the Niners D when they were really depleted, and he kind of brought the breast out a lot of guys who had no names. And I'm not expecting miracles from the Jets, but I just expect making it fun. Your thoughts. And one more thing.
Real quick.
If I can get one more thing, Bart, before I hang up.
Yeah.
I just want to tell you, man, you remind me of Randy Watson from Sexual Chocolate. Every time you go on that, man, I love it.
Randy Watson. Jackson Heights own.
So just real quick, we have about 20
seconds. Well, I think Saleh did a great job with the secondary, right? You look at the secondary and how they performed. In the second half, they only gave up, I believe, 3 points. They settled down. I think really they struggled at that opposite linebacker spot. Blake Cashman, somebody's going to have to step up as Davis is out. And Azardine, these are all converted safeties that try to step in. They got bounced out.
All right, we'll continue with your calls. Coming up also, our quarterback confidence meter after 1 week as well. It's Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.